home again to mynd yn dysgu. Ac sy'n sy'n mynd y terdyn y tes maes, fi gyda fe yma. Swyd lle tan yma yn y bwystam, sydd o Peter yn dyn y bwytele. Sa I am, yn bydd gyda mae yn mynd y tith ap. Mae'n sy'n cofio to be ysgrif, fi bys yn dweud fe yta, pa tit yn mynd i fel bach sy'n mynd. So mae pa bwys, beginning his tour of South India, he very strongly desired to go. And he is swatantra, he is fully independent. He's the independent supreme lord. So although it was quite difficult for him to... to leave his devotees behind, because the Lord and his devotees are so intimately connected still. For the purpose of going to South India, he tolerated the feelings of separation from his devotees. He wasn't callous at all. You know what callous means? Do you know what callous means?
Not very careful.
Huh?
Not very careful.
He was not callous towards his devotees. Hard. See, if we have a callous on our hand, if we're working very hard at something, we'll develop a hardened part of skin that is called a callous. You know what a callous is? What?
Like something, you know,
is hardened. On your skin, if you're working very hard with something, you'll develop a callus over there. So it's a hardened part of us. So Mahaprabhu was not callous. So if you have calluses on your hand, even if you can take a pin even, and you won't feel anything. So Mahaprabhu didn't have a callous relationship with his devotees, but yet he tolerated the unhappiness of leaving them because he had his mission to accomplish in South India. He had many people that he wanted to help. He was in the mood of a wandering sannyasi. This type of a lila of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's is not nitya lila. It is naimittika lila. Naimittik means... Do you know what naimittik means? That's a Sanskrit word. It means it happens occasionally, not regularly, like nitya, continuously. So sometimes when he's in the material world, Mahaprabhu performs these naimittika lilas. And Krishna also performs naimittika lilas in the material world, like he kills the demons. Now, why doesn't he kill the demons in the spiritual world? Yes, exactly. So why does, for the same reason, why does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not preach in the spiritual world?
They don't need preaching.
Yeah, because those in the spiritual world are in the spiritual world. So the preaching in this world is to bring the fallen conditioned souls, the jivatmas, to the spiritual world. So in the spiritual world, there are no fallen jivatmas who need to go to the spiritual world because they're in the spiritual world. So, but these leelas are, it's still a very, very wonderful leela because it shows... he gives the ideal, first of all, he gives the ideal example of a sannyasi, and he shows his compassion to so many souls. And when Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, his internal energy, his antaranga shakti, his kripa, his mercy is just flowing and acting independently and touching so many different souls. And that is what preaching is, actually. It's touching others with Krishna's mercy. So Mahaprabhu, when he was leaving, he had first taken permission from Nityananda Prabhu and Mukunda and Jagannanda, and then he went to Savabhoma Bhattacharya and Gopinathacharya, and they all walked Mahaprabhu around. He bade all the devotees. Let's see. So they went to Alalanath, which is quite close to Jagannath Puri. And then, when Mahaprabhu was leaving, he asked Savabhoma Bhattacharya for his blessings so he can come back very quickly. And saying this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his South India tour. And Savabhoma Bhattacharya immediately fainted to the ground. So we can just imagine the type of relationship, the loving affection that Savabhoma Bhattacharya had for Mahaprabhu that he could not tolerate. It was such a shock to him. His life airs left him and he fainted to the ground. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we'll hear later, he had made up his mind and he did not care. So although Savabhoma Bhattacharya fainted, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not take notice of him. Rather, he left quickly. Who can understand the mind and intention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. It was naturally expected that when Savabhoma Bhattacharya fainted and fell to the ground, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have taken care of him and waited for him to return to consciousness. Because he even said at the beginning, he said that you are more dear to me, my devotees, you are more dear to me than my life. I can give up my life, but I can't give you up. But I want your blessing so I can go to South India. So when he was leaving, Savabhauma Bhattacharya fainted, and yet Mahaprabhu became very strong, and he did not turn back, and he left. So he didn't wait for Savabhauma Bhattacharya to awaken. Raise a hand if you've ever fainted. You fainted?
Not really. It was
definitely
because my hand was broken 2 times in the same spot.
Wow.
And it was displaced, so it didn't make a thing.
They put it back together again? Oh, that's good. But you didn't faint?
I did faint because they needed to, my bones were like that.
Oh, so they had to pull it?
Yeah.
Set it.
But that will hurt, that's why they faint. And then.
Yeah. Wow. So although Mahaprabhu left, even though Savabhauma Bhattacharya fainted, Nityananda Prabhu. So anyway, let me just finish what Prabhupada says. It is therefore very difficult to understand the activities of a transcendental person because they are inspired by Krishna specifically. They are not inspired by what would inspire us. If I were to do that, if I was going somewhere and someone fainted and I just kept on going, it would be due to hardness of the heart, callousness. What does callousness mean?
It's like you do a work with your hand and then it just sores up when you poke a pin in it.
Yeah, it becomes very hard and unfeeling. But when Mahaprabhu or the Supreme Lord or a great personality does something that seems to be callous, it is quite different. It is due to surrender to the Supreme Lord, or in Mahaprabhu's case, he is the Supreme Lord. So it's not born of the same type of a mood that if I did the same thing, it would be born of. Sometimes, Prabhupada says, they may seem rather odd, but transcendental personalities, but a transcendental personality remains in his position unaffected by material considerations. Because they are surrendering to Krishna, they want to do what is pleasing to Krishna. And that is their speciality. They know what is pleasing to Krishna. Next verse. That is the nature of the mind of an uncommon personality. Sometimes it is soft like a flower, but sometimes it is as hard as a thunderbolt because he's doing what. Look what Krishna did to Arjuna on the battle of Kurukshetra. He told him he had to kill all his family and relatives, and there were millions and millions of people that were killed there, and Krishna didn't care. And Arjuna, when he said, "How can I kill them? I'd rather sacrifice my own life," Krishna chastised him. So it appears on the surface, superficially, that Arjuna was kind-hearted and Krishna was hard-hearted. But it wasn't like that. Krishna, his vision is that of the Supreme Lord. So what he does is he's the only one who sees everything. He's the only one who sees everything. He knows reality. He's the only one who knows what is really true. And everyone else, they have a viewpoint. A viewpoint means we are like a point, and we see just from our point. But we don't see the whole thing. Only Krishna sees the whole thing. So to us also may seem like a disaster. A great blessing can be born out of a difficulty. Prabhupada's purport. The softness of a flower and the hardness of a thunderbolt are reconciled in the behavior of a great personality. The following quotation from Uttara Rama Ratsita explains this behavior. One may also consult Madhyalila, 3rd chapter, verse 212. Vraja pi kutarini mradu kusamadapi lokataranam chetasitamsi kuno vigyatum ishvara. The hearts of those above common behavior are sometimes harder than a thunderbolt and sometimes softer than the petal of a flower. How can one accommodate such contradictions in the great personality? Lord Nityananda Prabhu raised Savabhauma Bhattacharya, and with the help of his men, he saw him to his home. So it looks like Mahaprabhu abandoned Savabhauma Bhattacharya, and of course he did leave. But actually, Nityananda Prabhu is his other self, so he took care of Savabhauma Bhattacharya in another way. Immediately, all the devotees came and partook of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's company. Afterward, Gopinath Acharya came with the garments and prasad, and all the devotees followed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Mahaprabhu wanted to go alone, but at this time, all the devotees stayed with him. Why did they stay with him?
They couldn't stay away from him.
So they followed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to a place known as Alalana. There they all offered respects and various prayers. In great ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and he chanted for some time. Indeed, all the neighbors came to see him. Now, who knows who's been to this very holy place called Alalana? And there's a deity there of Lord Vishnu. And how many arms? How many arms?
Four.
Yes, forearm form of Lord Vishnu there. And Mahaprabhu used to go there during the Snaniyatra, before Snaniyatra festival, before Rathiyatra, for 2 weeks before Rathiyatra, no one can go see Lord Jagannath. So Mahaprabhu could not stay in Jagannath Puri, so he went to Alalanath, which is some kilometers away from Jagannath Puri itself. And there he would see this Alalanath deity. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur opened up a temple there, a Gaudiya Math there. And when he was installing the deities there, he went into thinking about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the kind of separation that Mahaprabhu was feeling from Lord Jagannath. He went into ecstasy and wandered in the forests there for hours and hours and hours until the devotees found them completely in internal consciousness. And that place is compared, or it is parallel to one place around Govardhan Hill called Paita. Did you go to Paita, where there's a forearm deity? What's that deity called, Jagdvini?
I don't know.
Anyway, there's a deity there. And there's all kinds of pastimes that say the local people say happen there. So that place is where it's when Krishna was having a rasa dance, and very close to Chandra Sarov. And you can see Govardhan Hill from there. And then when Krishna disappeared from the rasa dance, all the gopis were looking for him. And he wanted to trick them. So the gopis assumed a forearm form in that place. Excuse me, Krishna assumed the forearm form in that place. And when the gopis saw Krishna in his forearm form in one thicket, one kunja of bushes, but he was in a forearm form, so they thought he was Lord Narayan. So they offered their obeisances to Lord Narayan and said, "Please, could you tell us where Krishna is?" Because they had no interest in Lord Narayan, they were so attracted to Krishna. So Krishna, inside, he laughed a little bit. And he said, "Oh, blessings," and they went. But then when Srimati Radharani came, Krishna tried to trick her and stay in his forearm form, but he couldn't because of her great love. He assumed his two-arm there. And it is said also there is where the tunnel is between, because sometimes we may ask the question that how did Krishna lift Govardhan Hill? So we know that he lifted Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand, and then all the devotees all the Brijbasis went underneath the hill. But that begs the question, how did he get under it to lift it with his left hand? It's an engineering puzzle how he did that. Because did he lift it from the corner first, and then he got a jack or something like that? Propped it up and then got underneath. Well, what did he do? So in Vrindavan, the local people say that there was a tunnel that went underneath. And from underneath, when Krishna came up in the tunnel, he lifted it up. So that tunnel is supposed to start around Paita, that place. So, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. So this Paita is considered none different from Alalanath. So Mahaprabhu was in Alalanath, which is a place of separation. It's also a place that said that all in Paita, that all offenses are forgiven in Paita. There's some pastime, but that doesn't quite make sense. But in great ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and chanted for some time. Indeed, all the neighbors came to see him. All around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was known as Gaurahari, people began to shout the holy name of Hari, Hari. And Lord Chaitanya, immersed in his usual ecstasy of love, danced in the middle of them. The body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was naturally very beautiful. It was like molten gold dressed in saffron cloth. Molten gold dressed in saffron cloth. Molten gold, when we think of gold, it is, I think, of golden color. But molten gold especially has some like reddishness in it too. So, and then with the saffron, Mahaprabhu's complexion was effulgent like molten gold, and dressed in saffron. He was so beautiful. Indeed, he was most beautiful because because when we think of someone who's beautiful, they have many decorations on them, like jewelry and earrings and flowers in their hair or something. So what was Mahaprabhu's decorations when he was dancing? Does anyone know? Because the verse says it was very wonderful, chamatkar. But it says that his decorations were kampa sweda pulakarasu. Pulaka Asru, that he was, all the ecstatic symptoms were decorating his body, his hair was standing on end. See, he was really chanting Krishna's names. He was really associating with Krishna while he was chanting. And therefore he was ecstatic. He was dancing and his body erupted in ecstasy. Everyone present, well, they thought chamatkar. You know what chamatkar means?
Miracle?
What does chamatkar mean?
Yeah. Chamatkar. Something very wonderful.
Something wonderful. Astounding, wonderful. Everyone was, wow, look at, he was dancing and ecstasy was coming from his body and everyone was chanting Krishna's names. Whoever came who was chanting and saw him, they did not want to go home. Everyone, including children, old men and women, they began to dance and chant the holy name of Sri Krishna and Gopal. And in this way, they all floated in the ocean of love of Godhead. Upon seeing, because this is right before Mahaprabhu went on a South Indian tour, seeing the dancing and chanting of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda made a prediction at this time. He predicted that later there would be chanting and dancing in every village, because Mahaprabhu's dancing was so powerful, so influential, that it caused everyone else who saw him to become chanting and dancing because it was chamatkar. It was so wonderful. So when Nityananda Prabhu saw this, he knew, he predicted that everywhere Mahaprabhu goes, there's going to be chanting and dancing. In every village, grame grame, hobi, future tense, there will be in every village, he rupe, nritya age, wherever he goes, there'll be dancing. Here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. The prediction of Sri Nityananda Prabhu is applicable not only in India, but also all over the world. That is now happening by His grace, by the grace of Mahaprabhu. The members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are now traveling from one village to another in the Western countries and are even carrying the deity with them. So during this time, there were devotees who had buses, and they would get in the bus, and they were in the bus there would be books, there would be a temple, there would be devotees, and there would also be a driver, petrol and everything like that. But they would have an actual temple in the bus. Did anyone have that while you were, when you first?
Yeah, my swami.
Yeah. Did you ever go in the bus temple?
Yeah.
What was it like?
It was kind of exciting. It was something different.
Yeah, so Prabhupada, so the deities, so this was something very new. So even the deities are going from one village to the other as they travel in the West. So one time there were so many buses doing this. And these devotees distribute various literatures all over the world. We hope that these devotees who are preaching the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will very seriously follow strictly in his footsteps. If they follow the rules and regulations and chant 16 rounds a day, their endeavor to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will certainly be successful. Text 83. Seeing that it was already getting late, how can you tell that if it's getting late?
When the moon comes up and the sun goes down?
Yeah. On a full moon day, which happens first? Does the moon go up and the sun go down, or does the sun go down and the moon go up on a full moon day? Does anyone know the answer to this question? That happens exactly on a full moon day, exactly at the same time. The sun goes down on a full moon day. Just the moment it goes down, the moon goes up. Pretty good, huh? So Lord Nityananda, the spiritual master, he invented a means to disperse the crowd because they didn't want to go. But still, he made something so that everyone would leave. And when Lord Nityananda Prabhu took Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch at noon, everyone came running around him. Now it seems to be noon there, madhyan lunch. I guess that's getting late because he left early in the morning because he had to go far. After finishing their baths, they returned at noon to the temple, and admitting his own men, Sri Nityananda Prabhu closed the outside doors. So they were just together with Mahaprabhu, a few devotees, Nityananda's devotees. Gopinath Acharya then brought prasad for the two lords to eat, and after they ate, the remnants of the food were distributed to all the devotees. Hearing about this, everyone there came to the outside door, and they began chanting, Hari Hari, because the door was closed and they were on the outside, and they were chanting Hari Hari Hari. Thus there was a tumultuous sound. After lunch, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made them open the door. In this way, everyone received his audience, his darshan, with great pleasure. Anande Ashiya Loka Paila Darshan. They were able to have, they came inside in great happiness. The people came and went until evening. They came and they went as much as Mahaprabhu let them see him until evening. And all of them became Vaishnava devotees, and they began to chant and dance. That's what it means to be a devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then passed the night there. Where did he pass the night? Where was this?
Alalanath.
At that temple. And he discussed the pastimes of Lord Krishna with his devotees with great pleasure. The next morning, after taking his bath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started on a South Indian tour. He bade farewell to the devotees by embracing them. And although they all fell to the ground unconscious, the Lord did not turn to see them, but he proceeded onward. But yet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not callous. In fact, he was perturbed, which means the same thing as disturbed, but it means in the mind, particularly perturbed, means a disturbed mind. In separation, the Lord became very perturbed and walked on unhappily, but yet he walked on. His servant Krishnadas, who was carrying his water pot, followed behind, and he did not say anything. All the devotees remained there and fasted for one whole day. And why did they do that?
They were absorbed in remembering.
Yeah, what else?
Tapasya.
No, they weren't thinking, oh, we must perform tapasya.
Lost in so much depression and didn't even think about eating.
Yeah, they couldn't think, they couldn't consider eating. Just imagine what this, when something so terrible happens to someone. I mean, don't imagine it, but if something, you can't eat, you can't do anything, you can't sleep. So they spent a whole day. They had so much depth of love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and yet he continued walking. So they remained there and fasted. But the next day, after one day, they all unhappily returned to Jagannath Puri. And then we hear about Mahaprabhu's, he left. So we heard about what happened to the devotees. They stayed in the spot for a day, and then they went back to Jagannath Puri, and Mahaprabhu kept on walking. Almost like a mad lion, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on his tour, filled with ecstatic love and performing sankirtan, chanting Krishna's names as follows. So this is what he chanted. Do you know what song he chanted? Well, soon you'll know. This is the song he chanted. But in a different melody, maybe. Not this melody, but these words. Krishna, 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 hey. Yes. just went down the road, and he was feeling separation from his devotees by chanting in separation from Krishna. He was also experiencing Krishna's association. Now here's the translation. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. What does Rakshamam mean? Krishna, 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 Pahimam. And Pahimam means? I think it's quite the same as protect me.
Maintain.
Yeah, please maintain me. Yeah, maintain me. That is, O Lord Krishna, please protect me. And please maintain me. He also chanted Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahimam. O Lord Ram, descendant of King Raghav, Raghu, please protect me. O Krishna, O Keshava, killer of the Kesi demon, please maintain me. So when he's chanting, as he's dancing down the road, a lone sannyasi, what is he doing? Tell me something that he's doing.
Remembering Krishna.
Okay, he's remembering Krishna, but he's more, the smaranam follows kirtanam. He's chanting. But what is he chanting? He's chanting the name of Rama, chanting the name of Krishna. And what else is he just saying?
Asking for protection and maintenance.
Yeah. So this is the preacher's mantra. So there's one that'll come up tomorrow when we read, or maybe even today, a verse that he liked very much in this regard. So in our daily life, who do we usually think maintains and protects us? We think, if we are little, we think our parents are maintaining and protecting us. And we are a little older, we think we are maintaining and protecting ourselves. So this is called illusion. Turning to those pashanapi napasyati, tesam pramatandidanam pashanapi napasyati. So what we're trying to learn to do as devotees is how to turn to Krishna for protection, knowing that Krishna is the actual protector and maintainer. Because I may think that it is due to my work, my this, my that, that I'm doing it. But if Krishna, in one second, he can take away everything, and we won't be able to maintain or protect ourselves even a little. Madhi Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Madhi Ke. If Krishna wants to protect us, no one can hurt us. And if Krishna wants to hurt us, no one can protect us. So it's really, ultimately, not that we don't try our best, but ultimately it is actually up to Krishna. And there's one verse in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam that says that it is not the parents that actually protect the child. That it's not, similarly, it's not the doctors who heal the child. When the child is, if it was the doctors who healed and the parents who protected, if they were the ones who were actually doing it, then no child would ever become injured or hurt, because the doctors would all protect them and certainly the parents would protect them. But yet, sometimes the medicine works, sometimes the medicine doesn't work. Sometimes it's useful, sometimes it proves to be useless. Because ultimately, not that we don't take medicine and not that we don't hold on to our father's hand when we cross the street, but ultimately, we know that it's up to Krishna. So when this is what Mahaprabhu was teaching. The first thing he's practically teaching is that the duty of a sannyasi and the duty of everyone actually is to learn how to depend on Krishna. So what does it mean to be a sannyasi? It means to cut off all the artificial things that seemingly are giving us protection. So the illusion of being protected by so many other things is given up, and one relies simply on Krishna. Now, what do you think of that? What do you think of that?
Reality.
Huh?
Seems like real and clear.
Because say if we develop the habit, the example I always, if I speak on this point, like before you leave your house, what do you make sure you have with you?
Keys.
Keys, because you want to get back in, or you're going by car, or both. Okay, keys, what else?
Mobile.
Yeah.
Jump over there.
Okay, keys, mobile phone, and what else?
Wallet.
What happens if you leave your wallet home? How do you feel? Huh?
Incomplete.
Incomplete. If you leave your mobile phone home, you feel unprotected. Anything could happen and I won't be able to protect myself. But if I have my wallet, what is the speciality of having the wallet?
Maintain.
But what's in the wallet?
Lakshmi.
Lakshmi? No Lakshmi is in the wallet. What's in the wallet? Huh?
Papers.
No papers.
Permission.
Ah, plastic. Ah. If I don't have my pieces of plastic, I don't feel safe. It's true, right? I mean, this is our conditioning. So at least we should also take our japa bead bag with us.
Sure, I can buy my way out of any situation.
Yeah. But what happens if you have an American Express card and they don't take it? The problem. So at the time of death, and that time will actually happen to everyone at some point, we want to be practiced in taking shelter of Krishna. Like, Tanya, when you were in the Los Angeles temple, was that young boy, Birbhadra, there? Shilavati's son?
No.
Oh, he was a new Vrindavan already or something?
He was a new Vrindavan already.
But there's a little story that I heard one time that he was riding his bicycle. Maybe he was 12 years old or something. And as he was riding his bicycle, something unfortunate happened. A car knocked into the bicycle and he fell off. And he wasn't seriously injured. So when Prabhupada heard about it, he asked, what did he do? So Prabhupada, the person who was with him, he said he chanted. And Prabhupada said, oh, that means he is liberated. Mm. He took shelter of Krishna. So that is a perfection. That at every time, especially in difficulty, we turn to Krishna and beg his protection. Okay, we'll stop here. Anyone have any questions or comments?
Maharaj, one question, like at every other place, Lord Chaitanya chants Hare Krishna mantra. So he is also chanting Hare, which is Radha. But in his Krishna, only chanting Rama and Krishna.
Say again, I'm sorry.
In this mantra, oh, Krishna, okay. Krishna, he is only chanting names of Rama and Krishna. So what's the correct understanding? Like, why the name of Radha is not here?
But he doesn't own... He chants many, many things because his teaching was Hariyanama, 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 Eva Kevalam. So there's different moods because he's a person. He's a supreme person and he has different moods. So in this mood of the traveling preacher, and he's taking shelter of Krishna. One other way to look at it is that he won't ask Srimati Radharani to take care of him and protect him and maintain him. He wants to be the one serving. He doesn't ask for service. You could also say that. But he has different moods. That's the basic idea. So he's showing the proper mood for everyone, but especially a sannyasi. It's full dependence on Krishna. But if we say that if Krishna is there, will Srimati Radharani automatically be there? So, but could you imagine if Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy, like a golden volcano of ecstasy, and he's erupting, and Dear Lalita says, excuse me, don't you think you should be also chanting the names of Radha too? Of course, you would never do that. Any other questions? No? Not even one.
I had a story of... I don't have the story right in my head properly, but basically of how Sri Chaitanya was either saying something or preaching something, and then the devotees chanted Gora Gora, chanted his name, saying Gora Gora, and then he covered his ears and he said, no, chant the names of Krishna. So does that mean we should chant the names of Krishna only and instead of Sri Chaitanya?
Our acharyas, they teach us, and we learn to follow their example. So our acharyas, they chant the Panchatattva mantra, but then mostly they chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So one time Prabhupada was asked, why don't we chant the Panchatattva mantra? Because it is more powerful even, because there are no offenses to be considered. So Prabhupada answered that question is because we follow Mahaprabhu and what he did. So he taught all the devotees to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And then the devotees, They also chant the Panchatattva Mantra, for example, or Gaura Nitai. But yet the main chanting is the Hare Krishna Mantra. So everything is seen through the eyes of our acharyas, and we follow Mahajana, you know, Panchakata, Supanta, which we follow their path. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Did you have a question? Comment?
I was thinking on the previous question that we also see with our acharyas that in their prayers and bhajans sometimes go by Radha and Krishna. And
there's different moods.
Bhagavan Thakur just got prayers to Gopinath, but also Radha Krishna Bhav, so different moods.
It's interesting that Lord Chaitanya was saying, please protect me, please restrain me.
Yeah.
And from another angle, Srila Prabhupada speaks about how we don't ask Krishna for anything.
No, but surrender means to turn to Krishna for protection. That's where bhakti actually begins. Krishna is our maintainer, Krishna is the protector. That's actually the anga, the angi of bhakti and everything else, of surrender.
So then, what is the correlation between those two things?
It's just natural that you're a servant. You've given yourself completely to your master. So naturally, in your part of the relationship is to give yourself. That's called surrender, saranagati. And then the master's position is that he will protect you. So the servant naturally expects, in one sense, protection by his master, so he expects it naturally. But whatever happens to him, he sees that's Krishna's protection and Krishna's mercy. And also, it's described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar Devotion, in the commentaries of our acharyas of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that if a devotee is in an exceptional circumstance, something dangerous happens to him, for him to call out Krishna's protection is not against pure devotional service.
So I guess if you're going up to preach, you don't know what you're going to meet.
That's reality. You don't know what you're going to meet.
Yes.
Huh?
Going to meet.
What's going to happen? Well, especially this, look at the circumstance. He didn't even know the roads to South India. He had with him a servant who walked behind him, carrying a pair of cloth. And he didn't have his credit cards, he didn't have his mobile phone, he didn't have shoes, he didn't have anything with him at all. So when you're in that circumstance, etansa astaya paratmanishtam, that's what these circumstances, and that's what devotees are supposed to learn how to do as they serve, to depend on Krishna for protection. But that also doesn't mean that we shouldn't be practical too. If you're on a mountainside and you're driving your car and you close your eyes when you're driving and saying, well, Krishna will protect me, that's also simply foolishness. And one shouldn't challenge the laws of nature, Prabhupada has said. So obviously there's subtleties in it, and if you become a fanatic on everything, you won't get it right. You know, it's Krishna will feed me, so I won't even open my mouth. So it's not meant for fanaticism.
Common sense.
It helps a little bit. Common sense helps. You know what common sense means? It means like practical intelligence. You have to be practical too, but you can't only be practical. You have to depend on Krishna, because ultimately Krishna will take care of us. Right now, are you making your heart beat? But is your heart beating? Now, sometimes do you watch television?
No.
Okay, when you're watching television and you're watching your favorite cartoon, who's your favorite cartoon person? Not, you don't have any. Okay, but if you get really absorbed in that, you forget to breathe. Do you remember, oh, now I have to breathe? No. And you breathe, and your heart is beating, and the blood is going throughout your body. So who is doing that? I think so. I'm not doing it. You're not doing it. So what does scientists say who's doing it?
Your brain.
Your brain, or just that's the way your body is. But who made the body like that? The scientists? And I can't make it. It's so the most complicated thing is a simple a human body or even a mosquito body is so complicated. No scientist can even make one mosquito. Did you ever meet a scientist who can make one mosquito? How about a spider? You know, the spiders are so little, the little ones, sometimes they can get this big too. Did you ever see a spider that big? You want to see one? We can show you. But they're so little. As soon as they get born, they know how to spin webs and everything. They know how to do all that. How do they know that?
Because of Krishna.
Something. Quite amazing. They don't even have to go to spider school. So if they don't have to go to spider school, how come you have to go to human school? Did you ever wonder, why do I have to go to school?
To learn things.
Okay, but what things do you have to learn in school?
Math, science, English, literacy.
What is the difference between literacy and English?
Same.
But really in school, they said, teach us how to love and serve Krishna. That a spider cannot learn. A human being. Spider learns how to take care of himself. As soon as a bug comes into their net, they come out. And then, but humans have a different thing to learn. They have to learn how to love Krishna. Do they teach you in school how to love Krishna? Okay. Maybe tomorrow. Any other questions or comments?
One of the questions reminded me of something. In Vrindavan, one temple they said, if you take this dhatun of Radha Krishna and put it in a kavach, and make a wish, whatever you wish for comes true. And I mentioned that to an ISKCON devotee, and he said, whether it's true or not, we shouldn't make wishes because we don't know what's best for us. So if it's a wish like, you know, to be protected from materialistic desires or to be the way Krishna wants us to be, is that an okay wish or should we not wish for anything at all?
Yeah, it's a great prayer. Please protect me from my mind, it's so full of material desires. Oh, Krishna, please let me become your servant. This is perfect prayer. It's wonderful prayer. Please let me serve you. That's proper translated. It's a Maha Mantra like that. Please accept me as your servant. We sincerely chant like that and pray like that. It's very good. Please allow me to serve you. Without your service, I don't have anything. My life is useless, like the life of a bug. No meaning. Did you hear
that? You were mentioning how Lord Chaitanya was chanting in the mood of separation. And he was associating with Krishna in that way. So how, like, is it possible in the beginning stages of chanting a devotee can develop?
Is it possible that a devotee can develop? So the answer is yes. But is it possible in the beginning stages to be already developed? The answer is if Krishna wants, okay. But otherwise, most of us have to. Just like if there's... Is it possible to compose a symphony when you're 6 years old? Yes, it is possible. Mozart did it, but it's very unlikely. Most of us have to gradually progress. What do you think?
Yeah, that's true. In the beginning, we are actually trying to connect to Krishna, and this is like very high... understanding.
But when you sometimes go out and distribute books. So when you go out and distribute books, you get fired up and you know, I'm going to go and do it. And this is how you stop people on the street. And here's how this is the things you say. And you try all the tricks that you know. And sometimes you distribute books. And then sometimes no one is interested even a little bit. So if we try by our own power, we will see the limitations of our power. And then if you still want to serve, then you start praying to Krishna to help you. That Krishna, I can't do it on my own power. But if you want this, any people to buy books, I will do my part. But you'll have to do it because I can't do it by my own power. So have you gone through those kind of things?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's the benefit of doing something that's so uncomfortable, standing out there in the middle of the street and stopping people who have no interest in what you want to tell them. It's a tapasya. So when you're doing that for the pleasure of Prabhupada, for the pleasure of your Guru Maharaj, for the pleasure of Mahaprabhu and Krishna, then a purification comes to you, and that's the kind of purification that you learn, that my power and ability is limited, but so I should take shelter of Krishna for everything. So... And first you start thinking, say if you do that, first when you start going out, try to do it based on all the techniques and a good smile and whatever. And then maybe that lasts a little while. And then you learn how to depend on Krishna. And then you try to do that as a technique. Oh, now I understand. All I have to do is pray to Krishna to help me. And then people take books. But it doesn't work like that because Krishna is the most clever. He wants that sincere desire to serve. So until you get that right, then he'll keep playing with you, so to speak. You follow what I mean?
Yes.
And then when you just simply want to serve and you do that, then some days you'll do very well, and sometimes days you won't do very well, but you'll have sincerely tried to serve, and that's what Krishna appreciates. Any other questions or comments?
I have some friends that would identify themselves as Hindu, but in case there are people that don't follow all principles and that can they still worship Krishna in the form of Gauranita because they're so merciful, or at least in the picture form? Or?
But they should also associate with devotees, and then they can learn how to improve. But Prabhupada even called the little Gauranitai deities, he wanted them, every household to have one. And he said to call them what?
Happy dolls.
Happy dolls. And if you have happy dolls in your house, even if you're a meat eater, he even allowed it, because they're very merciful. They don't accept offenses.
Does it have to be made of a certain material? Like, it can't be brass, or does it have to be made from stone? Or
no, it can be a picture, it can be anything. And then if you, better still than just having them in your house, is chant the holy names, offer incense, and better still if you follow principles.
Yeah, and also, is it incorrect to worship Panchatattva without worshiping Radha Krishna and vice versa?
We shouldn't. In the early stages, we shouldn't worship Radha and Krishna as much as Gauranitai. Because Radha Krishna worship is actually very demanding, very demanding. How many aartis a day do your parents do?
We do one in the morning and one in the evening.
Yeah. You help with that?
Yeah.
Nice.
I worship in the morning.
You do all the worship yourself in the morning?
Yeah.
And how often do you dress them?
My mom does that.
Every day?
Yeah. No, not every day. Maybe once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we sing in the mornings and evenings and sometimes in the afternoons.
Oh, nice.
So for a beginner that isn't quite following all the principles, can they worship a picture of Radha Krishna, or can it be Gauranitai first?
It's better to stick to Gauranitai, because if we do something wrong in the worship of Radha Krishna, we can turn our spiritual life upside down.
Mm-hmm.
So Gauranitai, they don't see any wrong.
Is it because, like, Krishna would be offended if someone wasn't dressed appropriately or did the wrong thing in front of Radharani? Is that the reason why we...
No, it's just, there's a system of worship that our acharya is upset, so we follow the system.
And can you worship Tulsi Devi or anyone else in front of Radha Krishna that's not like an acharya or in parampara sort of thing?
You mean...
For example, a lot of Hindus worship demigods as well. So I've got relatives in India that a lot of them prefer only worshiping demigods as well. So if there's Radha Krishna, should we only...
Should they? What?
Yeah, well, whoever has, like, demigods. Or in our house, for example, we've got Tulsi Devi and a picture of Vrinda Devi as well. So I don't worship Vrinda Devi in front of Radha Krishna because I thought...
Usually it's not done. Okay, I think we better stop because it's 8:15. Very good. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Mahaprabhu's tour of South India ki jai, Shri Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Vrindavan Prabhu ki jai. What's your name? How old are you, Vrindavan?